Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now we say that. Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host Eddie Trunk.
Hey folks, Eddie Trunk here. Welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New episodes every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts, always free. Thank you for listening, subscribing, downloading, streaming, however you listen. Thank you for connecting and checking out the Eddie Trunk Podcast. As I tell you every week, the interviews you hear on this podcast originated on my Sirius XM radio show, which is called Trunk Nation, and it's heard live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on Sirius XM Channel 106, nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern, anything you want, anytime you want on the Sirius XM app. Be sure to follow me on social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, fan page on Facebook. EddieTrunk.com is the official online home. And I'm on Cameo, if that's of interest to you, for a personalized video. You can be sure to go to Cameo.com and find my name there and the profile for more information. Everybody outside of the U.S. or Canada, thank you as well for listening. Happy to bring you some of my news-making interviews in the world of rock here worldwide, free to everybody as my podcast. This week, another double-dip episode. We start off with the legendary Ace Frehley, the original lead guitarist and a co-founding member of KISS, a guy that I've been friends with now for 35 years, a guy that is currently out on tour opening for Alice Cooper as his special guest. So if you go see Alice, Ace is out there playing with him right now. We'll start with Ace talking about that tour. The interview you're about to happened live on my radio show just a couple days before that tour started, so about a week and a half ago. So Ace will come first, and then we'll back it up. Our second interview this week is with a guy that's been on my show quite a bit recently, and that is another founding member of a band, but once again, former member, in this case, Judas Priest, KK Downing, former member of Judas Priest and a founding member of that band, has just, well, actually, if you're listening to this on post-day Thursday, tomorrow releases his first ever music outside of Judas Priest in the form of a new band called KK's Priest, which also features former Judas Priest singer Tim Ripper Owens on vocals. The album called Sermons of the Sinner is out this Friday. KK has been on with me a couple of times in anticipation of this record coming out. The interview you'll hear second in this podcast is his most recent appearance on the show, which again took place about a week ago in anticipation of the album finally coming out tomorrow. Again, tomorrow if you're listening on post day, which in this case would be the 30th of September 2021. So Ace Frehley first, KK Downing second, two legendary guitar players, former members of legendary bands. That's what we have for you this week on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. First up this week on the Eddie Trunk Podcast, our first of two interviews, as I mentioned, Ace Frehley, original lead guitarist of Kiss, currently touring with Alice Cooper. Here's Ace to tell us about that tour on the eve of him leaving for it from my radio show, Trunk Nation. Enjoy. And here is a guy that was incredibly influential on John 5 and so many other guitar players, and John guested on some of his recent albums, getting ready to go out on tour as special guest to Alice Cooper. Joining us now live on Trunk Nation is original Kiss guitarist and co-founder of that band and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Ace Frehley, joining us right now. How are you, brother?
Good afternoon, Mr. Trunk.
How's the rehearsals going? You're getting ready for this tour, getting started on Saturday with Alice. I know you've been busy rehearsing. How's it gone?
We're killing it. I'm having so much fun, you know? The pandemic, you know, shut down everything. And it's been 2 years since we performed live, and I'm so, so looking forward to this tour. And so is all the other guys in the band. And, you know, we've just been rehearsing, you know, constantly this week. And we just finished up our last run-through of a new medley that we're doing to help promote Origins Volume 2. We're doing a short melody. We're doing a half of each song. We're doing She into Manic Depression, into Never in My Life by Leslie West, Mountain, into Led Zeppelin's Good Times, Bad Times. That's a melody we have planned.
That's going to be awesome. How much set time do you have, Ace, with Alice? How much? How long will the set show be?
I don't know, around 50, 55 minutes, something around there.
So you'll get all the classics, and then you'll get a good medley in, and it helps to be able to do a medley when you don't have a full hour and a half or whatever.
Yeah. Now, I actually enjoy doing medleys because, you know, you just give the, you know, you get... There's so many songs that I can perform, you know, songs I've written with Kiss, songs I've written on my own. I mean, you know how many albums. You probably know. I have no idea. How many albums have I put out?
Total? Like all in, everything?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to sit down one day and figure out how many songs I've written. I have no idea.
You know, no, I have no idea. Off the top of my head, I could count them up pretty quick, but I have no idea off the top of my head.
How many songs I've guest starred on, you know, Wendy O. Williams, and I mean, just, and people that have played on my records, you know, Slash and Robin Zander, Lita Ford, John 5, you know, Slash, the list is endless.
Hey, so let me ask you about touring with Alice, because like you said, this is the first time you're going to be going out in a while, but what is your history with Alice? I know that, I remember hearing a story, I think it was you and Paul Stanley very early on before Kiss was really, when Kiss was making the first record, you guys went to see Alice Cooper. Was that your earliest Alice Cooper experience going that far back?
When I had first joined Kiss, we went to see the Billion Dollar Baby Tour, and I think, I hadn't met Alice yet, I don't think, at that point. You know, usually when people say to me, how long have you known Alice? Like, I've known Alice as long as we got drunk together. So how long has Alice been sober? I was sober 15 years. My anniversary was yesterday, but Alice is probably double that.
Well, first of all, congratulations to you. Thank you. I talked on the phone last night, and you'd mentioned that to me, and that's an amazing milestone. So congratulations. Yeah. But Alice, Alice probably would be more years than that for sure. But he was as notorious as you in his day. He was as notorious as you. The two of you back in those days must have been brutal. It must have been unbelievable.
We got invited to Alice's birthday party, and of course he had several cases of Budweiser, and I'm sitting next to Alice, and Paul and Gene is on either side of him, you know, and of course those guys don't drink, you know, and me and Alice are chugging beers and laughing our fucking asses off. Whoop.
Oh, you can say that, it's fine.
And completely ignoring Paul and Gene because those guys don't drink, and Alice you know, identified with me because we were both beer drinkers, you know. And we had a lot of fun that day. So I can't remember. That was in the 70s.
Let me ask you this, Ace. When you were putting together, when Kiss was coming together and you're making the first record and you guys go and watch Alice on that Billion Dollar Babies tour, I would think it would make sense to think that seeing Alice and you guys seeing Alice and doing a show like he was doing on that tour had a big impact on what you guys wanted to do as Kiss when you started out, right?
Well, from the very beginning, we've always said that, you know, people like Alice Cooper and other people as well have been, you know, major influences on us. You know, I mean, Alice Cooper was one of the, you know, he puts on a theatrical rock show, you know, but, you know, we took it one step further, or maybe two, or maybe a whole staircase. But Alice is a great talent and, you know, great songs and a fun guy to be around. I'm good friends with his wife, good friends with the guys in his band. His guys in his band know my guys. They talk to each other. So it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, a lot of camaraderie, you know. And it's going to be very cool. I'm looking forward to it. It's I don't see any downside or negativity. I mean, the only thing I wish is that, you know, because of COVID and stuff, you know, they're not having an opening act. So even though I'm a special guest star, you know, I'm going on first. But I think, like, the first show in New Hampshire, I was talking to the Ampeg rep, and he mentioned that there was another stage smaller than the stage we're playing on. I think we'll be playing for 10,000 people. And I think he said he was performing that afternoon, so I guess they may be the opening act, you know. Maybe there are some opening acts in some situations, but, you know, it's nice to have a band, a three-act bill, you know, have one group to open up, then the special guest star, and then the headliner. You know, but in some cases, it's just me and Alice. But, you know, it's cool, you know. I think everybody understands because of COVID, you know, there's certain guidelines that we have to follow.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you about. So have there been precautions and things put in place? And I mean, touring's so different now because of this, everybody's dealing with it at different ways. Do you have any concerns going out? Are there any things you can and can't do that you'd normally do because of it?
Well, I normally just stay in my room. I don't hang out in bars anymore. Everybody pretty much in the band has been told, you know, don't socialize a lot, you know, kind of keep to yourselves, you know, because, you know, if one guy in my band gets it can, you know, screw up the whole tour. So everybody has to be cautious. We're traveling with a CDC person, and we're going to be tested twice a week. No one is allowed backstage. Meet and greets were canceled, you know, a couple of weeks ago, which kind of got me a little upset, but, you know, I'm working around that. I'm going to be doing virtual meet and greets, and I'm going to be doing a video to explain that on my website in the next 24 hours. But, you know, we're going to get around it, and we're going to have fun, and, you know, I'm going to sell some of my painted guitars and, you know, perform, you know, if somebody wants to pay a certain fee, I'm going to get up on stage and play the guitar they bought for a song. So, you know, we're getting around that.
Speaking of the COVID stuff, pretty amazing, Gene and Paul, how careful they were that they still ended up getting it. Did you have any contact with them around that time?
Oh, yeah. I spoke to Paul, and he told me he was completely baffled. You know, the minute I heard he had it, I got a hold of him. The minute Gene got it, I got a hold of him. Gene sent me a video of him with a nurse telling him he's okay. But, you know, they follow the guidelines. Paul goes, I'm completely baffled, Ace. I have no idea how I got it, you know. I said, he goes, he was stuck in a hotel in Pennsylvania. I said, be careful, you know, because I thought he might be going back to L.A., you know. And I said, you know, you got young kids, you know, at the house. He goes, no, I got to self-quarantine. So, but, as far as I know, they're back on the road again, aren't they?
Yeah, they resumed a few days ago.
Yeah. So, you know, they got over it pretty quick. You know, some people, you know, get laid up for weeks. And, you know, my cousin has a ranch in Dallas, and he got the Delta virus, and he was laid up for 11 days. And he said it was like the flu on steroids. So that's something I do not want to get. But I've been vaccinated. I take my vitamins. I work out. You know, my new girlfriend's a personal trainer on top of being a school teacher and a graphic artist. So, you know, I eat right. She keeps me, you know, in great shape. You know, I'm down to 198. Which is the thinnest I've been since I can't remember.
I saw you for your birthday in Vegas when we had your dinner, and you looked great, and you're even thinner now, which is crazy. I said to you when I saw you in Vegas, speaking of Kiss, I said, "You're ready to fit into the suit. Let's go." tell them you're ready to put the costume on, man. Let's go.
Yeah. I take life one day at a time these days, you know. I'm just looking forward to this tour. I'm really thrilled with the set. We also decided to add Strutter. That's a song that I don't think I've ever performed without Kiss. And that sounds great. One of the guys, other guys in the band is singing it. And it's a powerhouse set, you know, because we're limited in time. You know, we're going like from one song into the next, boom, boom, you know. And I'm shortening my guitar solo, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. But that's okay. You know?
Well, you got great singers in that band. I know all of them, and everybody can sing yourself.
We have 5 lead singers.
Yeah. Yeah, so that opens up the possibility to do a lot of material, and that's a great advantage to have.
And, you know, God forbid, you know, I blow my voice out, you know, one of the other guys can cover for me. I would never use tapes.
No.
Like some
Thank
people.
God.
But
yeah.
Anyway, Thank you know, that's just, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping for a good turnout. You know, my agent, Kevin Daly, told me that the ticket sales are doing really, really well. You know, so, you know, I mean, it's a great bill with me and Alice. You know,
it is.
A very similar audience.
Yeah. And as soon as I heard about it, I thought it was a great bill. Just so people know that you're not on the Atlantic City date, which is tomorrow. That's only Alice. But you start with Alice on Saturday, and that's in Guilford, New Hampshire on the 18th. Then you go Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, Chicago. New York is upstate. New York is Utica.
Yeah,
but you've got a bunch
of
dates.
I have no idea where I'm playing. I go push me in the right direction. Throw me on the plane, whatever.
Well, get out there and see it. It should be a great thing. 2 quick things, and I'll let you go. I got to ask you about this. So the Kiss documentary that was on recently, it was well known you did not participate in it. I know why you didn't, but do you want to say publicly why you didn't? Would you like to tell the fans why you opted out of the documentary?
Not really. You know, it was just something that, well, in reality, they didn't want to give me creative control. In other words, I didn't have creative control over the final edit. So I decided not to be involved with it, you know.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it. You said I came off good, so, you know. I mean,
I thought
haven't
you did.
Anything negative about it.
Yeah, no, I told you. Bob Ezrin said you're the most rock and roll guy in the band, and he said that you were right to feel ganged up on at times. That was what Bob Ezrin said in it.
It's funny you brought up Bob, because I was just talking to one of the guys in my band, and, you know, Bob lives in Nashville, and so do the guys in my band, except for Matt Starr, the drummer. And I said, let's get Bob Ezrin over to the show. I haven't seen him in a dog's age. So hopefully that'll materialize. And, you know, it's going to be a great tour, you know.
Yeah, it should be great. And the last thing is, you know, speaking of Kiss, do you hold out any hope still that you might play with them like the fans do, even if a final show? Is there any scenario you see possible for that to happen?
Look, anything's possible, and I've always said that, you know, everybody, you know, that's the first question so many people have asked me over the years, you know, would you ever consider doing a kiss shoot? And I said, you know, I never close the door on anything. You know, if the money's right and it's presented to me in the right way, you know, anything can happen, you know.
You know, they put out a show, you know, they put out a live show recently, officially released a live show from that short tour, that short time where it was you and Eric Singer. I don't know if you know that. A live show came out from Japan from around 01 that they officially put out a few months ago.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I should be getting a check done. If not, they'll be getting a call from my attorney.
If not, they'll get an invoice.
Exactly. And I'm on good terms with Paul and Gene, which is nice because, you know, we created something really special,
yeah.
You know, in the early 70s, you know, that has outlasted, you know, so many other bands. And, you know, God bless them. They're still doing it. I'm still doing it, you know. Peter's still around, you know. I'm not quite sure why Peter hasn't toured over the years, you know, as much as I have, you know. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. Everybody does what they want to do. But I'm having a ball. You know, I love my new band. I think, you know, everybody who's heard the new band thinks it's one of the best live bands I've ever put together. You know, they're super tight.
Yeah, I know those guys. I've known them for a long time.
Things about the guys in my band. You know, everybody gets along. You know, no drugs, no alcohol. You know, it's just serious rock musicians having fun, entertaining people, and trying to give a positive message to the youth of America. You know, rock and roll. Come to a rock and roll concert and forget about all your problems and all the ridiculous stuff that's going on in the world and the politics that, you know, we have to deal with and hear about every day, and this goddamn virus. And, you know, come to a concert and forget about that for a couple of hours, you know. Come see me and Alice and enjoy your life, you know. You've been locked up in a room, you know, afraid to go out. And thank God the virus has subsided in America, but in certain places, you know, it's still, bad, you know, from what I understand. I just spoke to a friend in Florida, and they said Florida's getting bad again. So I don't know, you know, but we take the proper precautions and, you know, stay fit, work out, take your vitamins, say your prayers at night before you go to bed, and thank God in the morning, you know, that you're alive, because, you know, it's a gift.
Yeah, and you're right. And you know, getting away from all of that stuff and getting out and seeing a show, it's more important than ever, because it helps you kind of forget about the craziness of the world, even for an hour or two, 3 hours. It's a real good therapy. It really is. Hey, listen, man, I'm about to run out.
I really believe that's why Kiss was so successful, because, you know,
Escape.
We were such a dynamic act, because we would not just... We didn't just sound good. We put on a spectacle of a show, and it captivated people. And that's why, you know, in the late 70s, we were voted by the Gallup polls the number one group in America, which is a major achievement, you know, in my career. And I was very proud to be part of that. You know, it's withstood the test of time, you know. All my guitar work and solos, you know, even though I'm not playing them, some other idiot is. And life goes on.
Well, you're right. That's what it's about. It's about being an escape, and that's what some of the best music is. Get away from the madness of the world. Hey, I got to run. I'm about to run out of time here for the show, but I appreciate a few minutes. Travel safe. I'm going to try to get out and see you at a show. Everybody go see Ace. Get there early to make sure you see Ace playing before Alice Cooper as his special guest. And congratulations on 15 years sober, brother. Nothing more important than that. I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the show, and I'm sure I'll bump into you on tour.
Yep. Anytime, man. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay. Be safe, and God bless. Say hi to the wife and kids, okay?
You too, brother. I'll see you. There he goes, everybody. Ace Frehley Well, I've known that guy for a very, very long time. We've got a lot of history together. That, of course, the one and only Ace Frehley, who is out there now touring with Alice Cooper as his special guest. Thanks to Ace for checking in before leaving for the tour. Coming up next, another former founding member of a legendary band, KK Downing of Judas Priest on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Interview number two this week is with KK Downing of Judas Priest, who releases tomorrow his first ever music outside of Judas Priest in the form of a new album and a new band called KK's Priest. Here is the man himself to tell you all about it. And as I was saying just a few minutes ago, it feels like to me that this record is actually never coming out, because I have done three. This is the third appearance from this gentleman on this show, and the record's still not out. It's like we're waiting forever for this thing. KK Downing joins us right now to talk about KK's Priest and the album, which is finally coming out a week from Friday. KK, has it felt like forever for you for this album to come out?
It absolutely has, really, Eddie. Again, thank you for having me on the show. At least I can say now that we're just days away. It has been like, a bit like a long pregnancy now, really, considering the record was done and finished last year. But then again, it's just the hazards of COVID. Eddie, it's been very frustrating for everyone, I guess, really, you know. So, but we're up and running now, and we're just trying to hopefully get some shows at some point so we can come and visit you guys and play some great concerts for you.
KK, I was talking about this on the air just a few minutes ago. It seems like when artists release new music, there's two different strategies. One is these days. You maybe put out one song a couple weeks before the album is available, and that's it. The other is put out 3, 4, 5 songs, videos prior to the release of the album, and then the album comes. You obviously and your label decided to take that strategy. Did you have any say in that? Do you have any feelings about that, releasing so much of the album in advance of the release?
No, I didn't. I know the release date got put back. Obviously, that was out of my control for whatever technical reasons that happened, Eddie. You know, otherwise, it would have been out a month by now, more than a month. But however, it was put back. They told me it needed to be put back. It only made eminent sense for us as well, really, to keep busy doing something, you know, making videos. Ripper and Sean were able to fly over, and actually we did the last two videos all together in one place, which was great, really, because we got to savor, you know, that kind of not exactly live on stage, but at least we were all on stage rocking out together.
The album is finally out, as you say, a week from Friday, which is, what's the exact date a week from Friday? 24th?
It's released October the 1st.
October 1st. And yes. So you mentioned this album and how long it's been to get out and when you initially started it and the delay because of COVID. I'm curious, in the time since the record was recorded and now finally about to be released, I've talked to a lot of other artists about this. They've actually started working already on another record. Have you done that? Have you started writing and recording with an eye towards another record already?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I would be looking to finish another record by, depending on what happens, you know, but certainly by, you know, before summer, you know, I would expect to have an album finished, which is kind of good if that's what we're forced into doing because of COVID, you know, because they are talking about another lockdown, you know, this winter over here, which is, you know, I can continue to work it. That's not a problem. But the good news is that really we wouldn't have to come back off the road again, you know, to do another record. So when we get out there, Eddie, we can just carry on, which would be pretty cool. And we get to release two records in 1 year, which is, I don't think I've done that since 1978 or 79.
Well, as I mentioned to you in the past, this is the first time anyone has ever heard anything from you outside of Judas Priest. Sermons of the Sinner is the first thing you've ever done outside of the band. Throughout the history of Judas Priest, Glenn had done some things on the side. Rob certainly left, did some different things. Yeah. You never did. So how does that feel for you as an artist to make a statement that is, I mean, you know, in Priest, I'm sure it was more of a collaborative thing, and you shared guitar work with Glenn and the writing and all of that at different levels. How does this feel for you to be, this is your thing?
Well, it's great. Obviously, I've been forced into this position, but now that I'm here, I'm really happy because I've got writing freedom. You know, I don't have to confer with other people or consider what they actually like and don't like while I'm going through the writing process. I can just, if I think it's good, it flies, which is great, you know. So I'm really happy and content with that, you know, Eddie.
Can you tell me, KK, about how the writing for this worked? Did you write everything yourself, or did you collaborate with others in the band? How did the songwriting work?
Yeah, I was on my own, really, because after I did the show at the Steel Mill in the UK with Ripper and Dave Ellison and Les Binks and those guys, you know, that was November 2019. So that Christmas, I just kind of shut myself away, but very, very quickly and easily it came together. I just went on autopilot and just did what came natural, really. And I got pretty excited about it, I've got to say. So I just carried on with the lyrics and I was singing along in a fashion myself because I just wanted to hear the song sound more and more complete, you know. But I did manage to get Ripper over and our drummer, Sean, from San Diego before And then they went back, and literally the very next day, COVID hit and everything closed down. So, but I was able to continue the process of, with the production and getting harmonies down and reamping guitars and stuff like that, you know. So it was good. I felt good about it, really, because, like I say, I hadn't really been a soul writer really since I was writing with Al Atkins and Rob, you know, back in the late 60s and early 70s, you know, before Glenn joined the band.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. In the history of Judas Priest, were there ever any songs that you solely wrote yourself or even wrote lyrics for?
Well, the thing is, we had a record deal before Glenn joined the band. So all the things that I was playing, you know, the versions of the songs, you know, which was a full set, and we had an album, you know, already, because obviously I'd done an awful lot of shows just with Rob in the band, you know, and we were really quite successful. And I did a lot of shows with Al Atkins as the front man as well. So we're pretty experienced, and like all that material was pretty much, you know, myself and Al. But Rob and Al used to do pretty much most of the lyrics, to be fair. And I did the music.
So listening to this album, and again, the album is Sermons of the Sinner, and it's finally out a week from Friday, as KK told us, October 1st. This album, to me, KK, when I hear it, it embodies, like, to me, Judas Priest is known for two different things in metal. Very anthemic, big choruses, whether it's Living After Midnight, You Got Another Thing Coming, Breaking the Law type songs, and then more epic songs like Sinner, Victim of Changes, things like that. And to me, yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, listening to the record, because this is the first time I've spoken to you about the record and having heard the whole thing, really, it seems like you tried to check both of those boxes throughout the record, because there are songs on there that are like that, but then you've got those anthemic things like Brothers on the Road and all that.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't intentional. It's just really implementing the model that I've naturally done over the decades. Apart from Nostradamus and the albums we did with Tim, you know, the rest of it is just switching into that kind of, as I said, autopilot on the heavy metal. Because an album, you know, an album is a journey from start to finish, isn't it, Ed? You know, and so all the ingredients that one becomes to expect from an album naturally has to go into there. You know, you have to have slower, more melodic parts, more emotional parts, more stuff that's more gung-ho, let's rock, let's get to the gig, you know, and it just has to have all of those ingredients, and that's what this album has, really. I think it sounds very complete to me, and for that reason, I'm really, really happy with it, you know.
Yeah, and well, that was my point, is you, if you're a Priest fan and a metal fan, you're going to get a little taste of everything that Priest, and of course you being a huge part of Priest, it was known for. And you know, it's interesting what you say. I'll never forget Tony Iommi telling me this once. He said, you know, one of the secrets to creating metal and making things heavy is to every once in a while pull back and have that breakdown and that soft moment, because then when you come back in, it reinforces the heaviness. Yeah. And if you think about it, Sabbath and Priest have done that brilliantly throughout history, and you have some of that on this record.
Yeah, it goes way, way back to the early 70s. We used to call it light and shade. And like Tony would know exactly what I mean by that, you know. So it's a journey, like I say. And to keep things interesting, you have to do a lot of things, like mix up the song keys. You know, these days I hear a lot of bands, the first four or five songs will all be in the key of E, because that's where they think it's heaviest, because it's the lowest key on the guitar. But not necessarily the heaviest to me. F sharp is really heavy. If you listen to Foxy Lady by Jimi Hendrix, it'll be... I'm pretty right in saying that it's in F sharp, and that's a pretty heavy key.
Let me ask you about your guitar playing is and of course the speaking Hendrix, your use of the bar and everything. It's just so great to hear again on this record. But talk about the interplay with the other guitarist in the band. I don't have his name in front of me, but talk about how you worked with him.
Yeah, in exactly the way that I would like myself and Glenn to have worked, really, and the way that probably we did work, but not for quite a long time. So it's just basically, you can imagine, you know, if you've got a busy restaurant and you've got two head chefs, you know, they both need to have the same capabilities. What one can do, the other can do, and that's what makes the duo powerful. There can't really be weaknesses on one side, Eddie, really, you know. And like I say, AJ, I've known him now since he was a teenager. I've kind of mentored him and his band over the years. And now he's become a very fine player. And he's reminiscent of me now, because obviously when I talk scales and different inversions and basically integrating scales, you know, in solos and stuff, it's good to have a working partner like him. And I'm very, very happy with what we do. And I think that there's a lot of guitar work on the album, of course there is, and of course I get to do more guitar work like I should have done in recent years in Judas Priest, but that wasn't to be, and I wasn't happy about that, you know.
Well, having read your book, and folks that haven't read your book, you should definitely check out KK's book, which came out a few years ago. That was a point, at one of the many points of contention for you towards the end of your time in Priest, right? You didn't like the way the guitar work and that end of things was being divvied up.
Yeah, there was an imbalance, really, and if it was obvious to me, it would be obvious to fans, you know. And I guess the way that it is now, it seems to me that Richie does 95% of the work, and that's not really what Judas Priest was all about to me, you know. So in this band, you know, it's 50-50, you know, and that's the way it should be, to be a bona fide, you know, full-on guitar duo.
And KK, you know, it's well known. I mean, you've made it very clear that you would have loved to have returned to Priest and returned to your role there. And with them out now doing 50th anniversary dates, that's something that would have made sense. Have you kept an eye on what they're doing? And have you had any additional dialogue or exchanges with them since we last spoke?
No, none at all. Apart from, you know, most of it's been through legal channels, which they implemented a long time ago now, you know. So, you know, that's pretty well spoken about that. You know, I'm very disappointed. I beg them not to go, you know, through the legal routes, but it is what it is. You know, I guess that's, you know, obviously I'm able to move on now. And now that it's happened, you know, and I did check again with them, you know, before I embarked on doing this, you know, with KK's Priest. But, you know, they shut the door and even appointed lawyers to try to stop me doing this band, which is very sad, you know. And considering, you know, they told the fans and the media that I retired back in 2010. Well, if that was the only thing that happened, why wouldn't they allow me to come out of retirement? It didn't make sense, really. But it is what it is, you know. I've got no control over that, unfortunately.
Tell me about the decision to call this KK's Priest. Did you have other names in mind that did come to you at one point? You said, you know what, I'm a founder member of Priest. I'm going to utilize their name in my name. Tell me about that decision.
Eventually, when I guest appeared, did the guest appearance with Dave Ellefson, it was quickly entitled and labeled Mega Priest, you know. And I really liked that. I thought that really, you know, I had a good ring to it, but it was always going to be a hybrid between Megadeth and Judas Priest. So I couldn't really go with that, but I did kind of like it. But the main reason is it still got Priest in there, Ed, and I became a Priest in 1968 when I saw that van going across my housing estate with Judas Priest spray painted on it, and I wanted to be in that band, and we know I auditioned for the band and didn't make it because they wanted to play blues, and but you know, when I got into the band, it was like winning the lottery. You know, it was just like, you know, everything came to true for me in my life. And so, and then I spent my whole lifetime, you know, as a Priest in Judas Priest. And I'm thinking, there's guys on the stage now calling themselves Priest. I've never met them, you know, earning money from it. So I'm thinking, if they can be a Priest, surely I can continue to be a Priest. Because the thing is, I can't shed my skin and start all over again and have a new guitar sound and write differently, you know, and produce differently and hear songs differently and change my amps. It's too late in the day. I am what I am, you know, and I wanted to bring my heritage, my legacy, you know, some of that with me, really, into the present and into the future. So I said, okay, it's KK's Priest, you know, because I was the loyal Priest in Judas Priest, because I never had a desire to play with anybody else. I never had a desire to leave the band, you know, for gazillions of years. Glenn, you know, he made a couple of albums, took him 6 years with Cozy and John. But, you know, I was always loyal to, you know, to the band, Judas Priest. So I think I've got a right to continue that more so now, because, I mean, from what I see, I mean, Rob had the Halford band. In 2010, Rob went out with the Halford band and did a world tour in 2010, you know, the year I stepped down. And he also delivered up 2 studio albums, you know. So things were not going well, Ed. Something had to give, you know, because I wasn't happy. I really wasn't happy. And like I say, not many people know that, but Rob and his manager sent me a letter after I walked out asking me to join a band with Rob. Rob was going to come back to England and he wanted to come and see me about forming a band with 3 guitar players, with me, Roy Z and Jeff Loomis, with a very good drummer and bass player. But I ignored the letter and I didn't see Rob.
This was around 2010, KK?
Yeah, this was March, April 2011.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I did not know that. Speaking of your obviously the Priest connections in this record, the closing song, which there's quite an amazing video that just it's about to be released, but that is a connection to Judas Priest favorite from the Defenders of the Faith album, The Sentinel. Your closing track on the KK's Priest album is Return of the Sentinel. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, obviously I was a part of that. And like I said, my heritage and my legacy, to be able to still have a connection is nice for me, you know. And obviously I'm thinking that a track like the original Sentinel absolutely deserves, you know, the sequel is what I think, really, because the story can go on, you know, and I liked the idea. You know, it was actually suggested to me by a good friend, and I didn't think much of it to start with, and then I thought about it, you know, and he's a journalist as well, and Steve Golby, his name is, and it was his suggestion. He said, you should do a Return of the Sentinel, you know, and I thought about it, and I'm thinking, I really want to do it, you know, and so I did it.
It's a really cool way to end the record, and there's a really cool animated sort of lyric video. I don't know if that's been released or not. I know I've had a chance to see it, but has it come out yet?
No, it's not out yet, but it'll be out in a few days, I guess, and yeah, I like that, you know. I like the whole storyline, you know, and it's just quite intriguing because, like I said, I want people to listen to the album from the beginning to the end. But if Return of the Sentinel is the last thing that I ever release, you know, then it's a good way for me to go out. It's very emotional and means a lot to me, Ed, you know, so I hope very much people enjoy the whole thing.
Of course, the original song, The Sentinel, is on Defenders. Is Defenders among your favorite Priest albums?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, those first four tracks, you know, it's very hard to think of another album, even the Painkiller album, you know, can it really surpass the first four tracks on Defenders of the Faith? You know, it's quite something really, you know, and that's, it's a big challenge to compete with that, you know, but hopefully I've done a good job with Sermons of the Sinner.
Yeah, you know what's interesting too about you feeling so strongly and so many fans feeling so strongly about Defenders is it's the record that came after Screaming for Vengeance, which was really, in America, the breakthrough record for Judas Priest. And normally the band can never really live up to that previous record. It's always that next record, even AC/DC, like For Those About to Rock, is always looked at as a notch below Back in Black.
It's the worst. It's a musician's worst, not a band's worst nightmare to actually release the best record that you possibly can, because then where do you go from that? You know, as you say, it's tough for us guys out there. We have to, but we have to do it. But the only thing I can say is the fact, you know, I'm well on the way to, you know, with the second record already, and I'm really liking what I'm hearing, you know. And I'm really enthusiastic about that. I've moved on, you know, strangely enough.
Yeah, well, so now you've got that pressure on you for KK's Priest, because the world is about to hear Sermons of the Sinner, and now you're already thinking of the next thing.
Yeah, but actually, I'm not scared about it at all, really. And I should be, really, because I really think this record, you know, I'm really, really happy with the record, Ed. And I'm really looking forward to everybody being able to experience it, you know, in its entirety, you know. So, you know, but I'm not scared about it because I'm that type of guy, really. I'm really, really up for any challenge.
Yeah.
I have set the benchmark very, very high, but I'm cool with that, you know.
Yeah, and then so for when people get to hear this record, you'll hear something like Sermons of the Sinner, the title track, or Return of the Sentinel, which closes the record and is over in like 9 minutes long and is an epic. And then you've got a song like Raise Your Fist, which is just an anthem that I imagine is just going to be a live staple for you, which you can just see metal fans pumping their fists singing along to.
Yeah, because an album should always have those songs, you know, where you just get in the car, you're going to the gig, you're really pumped up, you know, crate of beer, you're heading out to the heavy metal parking lot, you know, meet your buddies. And you know, like I say, we don't have to win any literary awards or anything like that, you know, for the lyrics. This is about real life, you know, and it's like the other song, another song on there, you know, Wild and Free, you know. I'm taking people back to when we were, you know, those rebellious teenagers, you know, it's another break in the law or whatever it might be, you know, another thing coming, parental guidance. It's all about that rebelliousness. And that's what we did. Let's go back. Let's just enjoy our music, you know. Everything, a lot of music now seems to be very serious and, you know, the lyrics are very abstract and you have to, you know, try to decipher them. We need some good songs, you know, it's remembering rock when rock was rock, I guess, because, you know, I've been on that journey, that evolution towards heavy metal. You know, I came from progressive blues to hard rock to heavy rock, you know, to heavy metal. I've been on that journey and I've had all of those labels. And somebody asked me what heavy metal is to me, and I said it's all of that journey, you know, and I think that's a good way of looking at it, because it's been a part of my life and my musical journey.
KK, two quick things and then I'll let you go. I'm curious, how was it like and what was the experience like working with Ripper again? I mean, you made two Judas Priest studio records with him, a few live records. What was it like working with him again? It had been some time working both in the studio and having him as a bandmate again. How has that been?
Yeah, well, it's so easy because, I mean, he's got such a voice and such great capabilities. But obviously, Ripper's easy to work with. We're familiar with each other. And yeah, it's really great to have him on board. And I was really curious as to getting Ripper on songs like this, you know, that probably, because obviously the albums we made with Ripper were that bit different. You know, we stepped out of, you know, what can I say? You know, the traditional kind of tracks that, you know, well, I'm talking about like railway tracks. We stepped off the tracks for a little bit with Ripper, but to get back on those tracks with Ripper, and I think this really is good for him. I think it really suits him. I hope he enjoys it. I'm sure, and hopefully there's a lot more great songs to come.
And the last thing, you said this a second ago, and I'm curious if that's what you're referring to when you said the heavy metal parking lot. You've seen heavy metal parking lot, I'm assuming, right?
I've been in it because I've driven through that. I mean, you know, for example, I remember when we came to New York and we did the Meadowlands, Nassau Coliseum, and the Gardens all on the same tour. And I can remember, I think it was it the Meadowlands or Nassau? We actually drove through the car park, you know, to get into the gig in the bus. And it was just a wonderful experience. I really wanted to get out and have a few beers, but I'd got to go to work, you know. So, but I've done that a lot over the years. And I'm thinking, and it's really, really, it was really daunting to look at all of those people and think, shit, we've got to entertain all of these people tonight, just the people in this bus. I've got to entertain all of those thousands of people. It's really quite daunting. You can't really think about it. You know, you have to shut the curtains and get to the dressing rooms, you know, and do the gig.
Yeah, but I was always curious what you guys thought of that, because it's such a legendary metal thing. If people haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. It's called Heavy Metal Parking Lot. And it's people filming in the parking lot in like 83 or something. And it's at a Judas Priest show. So I was always wondering what your perspective was on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I say, I've been a fan. I'm still a fan. Like I said, the one thing that happens now, the songs, it was always in my mind writing these songs, like Raise Your Fist and that, is the fact that, you know, we're on stage as musicians, but we're also fans. And even more so nowadays, there's so many musicians in the audience. You know, and that's what the conversation is, you know, through the sermons, the relevant ones, is we are really, we're all together there in one place as one, and for us to be united and reunited and to just enjoy the fuck out of the experience, you know, and that's what we're looking forward to do as soon as we get the opportunity, Ed, you know, want to get back
well,
out there on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I can just, listening to this record, I can just hear how it's going to be great to hear played live. And then, of course, putting in the Priest classics around it, it's just going to be brilliant when you're able to do that. So hopefully, sooner than later, you can get over here or just get anywhere and get the band together and go play some shows.
Yeah, and that was totally my mind, constructing these songs. I'm thinking, I actually put myself on the stage, you know, so this, you know, I put plenty of audience participation things there, sing along things, you know, and I just wanted to create a record where, you know, there's no filler on the record, because, and that's a testimony, if I think that every song would have a bona fide position in the set list, Ed, you know, then it must be a strong album, and I hope it is, and I hope everybody really just dig it.
Well, everybody can check it out. It's out a week from Friday, October 1st. Finally, KK's Priest, Sermons of the Sinner. You can all listen to it and hear it in its entirety. Several songs and videos already out, including one coming very soon. Keep an eye out for a video for the Return of the Sentinel track, which I know Priest fans are going to absolutely love. KK, my friend, it's great to have you back. I can't wait to see you in person. Enough of these Zooms. Hopefully I get to see you in person somewhere soon. And congratulations on the record.
Thank you, Ed. You're a star. Thank you so much for having me on. And hope to see you and all the fans and everyone as soon as we possibly can.
Stay well over there. And same here. We'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you, Ed. Take care, buddy.
Well, thanks to KK Downing. If you're listening to this podcast on its Thursday post-day, that album is finally out tomorrow. Thanks to Ace Frehley as well for joining us. If you are a SiriusXM subscriber, audio and video of some of these interviews available on demand on the SiriusXM app. And be sure to listen to me live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Volume, Trunk Nation, Channel 106. Nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern. Full shows or interviews with audio and video anytime you want on the SiriusXM app. If you're in America or Canada and you're only listening to this podcast, you're getting a fraction of the interviews and rock talk that we bring you each and every day on Volume. Don't forget, 6th radio show, Mondays only, on SiriusXM 39, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern, and of course a terrestrial FM radio show on about 30 radio stations across America once a week. That show, Eddie Trunk Rocks. Social media, at Eddie Trunk. Thanks to Joel Pollack for producing. I'll see you guys next Thursday for another all-new episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, and hopefully on Volume every day on SiriusXM 106. Take care.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
the charcoal mask, great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking.
Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice, I am so sorry, I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule, I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.